And I just had a friend reach out to me the other day. She'd been an RN for 31 years. She was 59. And she got fired 2 days ago from a private Catholic hospital in my state because she took the first vaccine. It almost killed her. And she refused the booster, the second one, and they fired her on the spot.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here with Conversations That Matter at the New American Magazine. Thank you so much for being with us. And we have a special guest today, another one of those crazy stories. You almost can't believe it, and yet it's true. We have with us Natisha Kidwell. She is a nurse practitioner specializing in cardiology, and she has a story that is just wild. She went to a political meeting of a government body, expressed her opinion, and then was basically suspended from her job. And then there was a separation there, simply, it appears, as a result of her exercising her First Amendment rights. Natisha, thank you so much for being with us. And tell us what happened. What meeting did you go to, and what did you say that made them so mad?
It was a Board of Education meeting for my daughter, who's in sixth grade, and we have a lot of concerned parents in our county and very against mask mandates in our school system there in Jackson, in my county. And I basically, gave some data and some research and some reasons why masking children is very unreasonable and unscientific, and pointed out some facts about paper mask or cloth mask. And being in healthcare for so long, I have a very good understanding of virus and viruses and germs, and that these masks aren't helping. They're only hurting our children. I did state my place of employment, and they did not like that, even though I did not in any way represent the views of the health organization I work for. I just simply stated where I work, and that I had been in healthcare for 16 years, just kind of lending to my credibility that I wasn't just a random person, that I knew what I was talking about, and I had done my research, and just from my own experience, being a trained nurse and an advanced practice RN, that I have a good understanding about how viruses are spread. But because it went against the guidelines of the organization, they are very clear they follow CDC guidelines. Even though I was off the clock and exercising my First Amendment, the right to speak regarding the well-being and health of my child, they didn't like that, and said that I hurt the organization by doing that, and they had to fight with their PR. They had to fight it because then it was written up in the paper and they were getting some backlash from it. So.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if the same thing would have happened if you had come and said, hey, masks are wonderful. We should have all the kids wearing 8 masks and everybody needs vaccines. I'm sure they wouldn't have minded. That's terrible.
No.
Natisha, so let's talk about the mask issue. I mean, that is a battle that's raging all across this country. I'm in the state of Florida, right, where our governor used an executive order and he actually cited studies. He said, no, it's not going to do any good. It might do harm. We're not going to do that here in Florida. But I know not everybody is fortunate enough to live in Florida. So tell us the situation with these face masks. Why are you concerned about forcing children to wear them?
Well, first off, we have a governor where I live who has stated that we do not have to follow federal mandates. However, he does leave it up to public institutions and private businesses to deal with COVID as they see fit. So that pretty much leaves a big wide loophole. There's been several studies regarding there was a small study done just by some concerned parents about two, three months ago, where they actually took masks to a lab and tested what was on the inside of the mask, and they found everything except COVID. I was concerned about the social and emotional effects. Children, especially very young children, you know, thrive on that emotional connection and being with their friends and the whole social distancing. And a kindergartner, first grader, second grader, third grader learning how to read, how are you supposed to do that with a mask over your face? It's just, it's inhumane and it's unscientific. I could not find any scientific evidence regarding the efficacy of masks. All I could find were the inefficacy of masks, including on the CDC's website themselves. A smoke particle is smaller than a virus particle, and it even says on the CDC website that paper masks do not effectively protect you if you are inhaling smoke. That's why firefighters and people that go into wildfire situations, they wear masks that protect them from the smoke. So that's smaller than a virus particle, right? So if, and then the mass particle, the mass pores are huge. So if they don't protect against a smoke particle, how are they going to protect against a virus particle? So I just, there's no reason to mask children. Or really anybody, but that's what I was there for that day.
Wow. And so how did the community react? I mean, what were people in the local area thinking? Did they want their children to be forcibly muzzled? No. I mean, masked?
No, they do not want their kids to be muzzled. I mean, masked at all. we had a reporter there that was a little bit on the left-leaning side, and he had a different opinion. And so the write-up wasn't very positive. We were described as a mob and harassing the board, and that was not true at all. We had about 65 parents that showed up to that meeting, and everyone was cheering, and several parents spoke, not just me. And they're very encouraged about this grassroots movement, and we will continue to stay vigilant regarding that.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty...
actually.
Wow, it's unbelievable. And so what about the vaccines, Natisha? You worked in the cardiology unit. Did you see anything that concerned you? You know, we've seen a lot of anecdotal reports. We've seen in the VAERS system, you've got well over 12,000 deaths reported after the administration of these COVID injections, many of them having to do with heart. In fact, I have a very close family member who took the Pfizer one, and less than 48 hours later, heart completely stopped, just keeled over. And, you know, there's a lot of these anecdotal reports. And so you were there kind of on the front lines dealing with people with serious heart issues. Did you see anything that concerned you?
Yes. The clotting factor is a big deal. I had two patients in 2 weeks. One was in his 40s. One was in his 50s. Both healthy as can be. No comorbidities, no hypertension, hyperlipidemia, no family history of heart disease. They were not obese. There was no reason why they should have had heart attacks. One had his heart attack the day after his second dose. The other was a week after his second dose. Also, patients with pericarditis. And then I had an elderly woman that came in, and she developed Bell's palsy 2 weeks afterward. And she said, I think it was because of the vaccine. And I said, you know, you're probably right, but you will recover from Bell's palsy. Typically, people do. So hang in there. I always tried to be positive with them because they'd already received it. So I didn't ever want to shame anybody for their personal decision. But that's what it boils down to, is a personal decision. And I think if people knew the truth about what VAERS is reporting and all the side effects, then they could reasonably make a different decision.
In your experience, are people being given informed consent? Are patients being explained all the possible risks and what we've been seeing along with the benefits?
No, they're not. And as a matter of fact, it bothers me that patients aren't receiving early treatment when they come in, even to our own hospital. If you come in short of breath to the ER, they'll say, don't come, you know, just go home, come back if you get worse. Instead of letting them leave with a prescription for hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or budesonide inhalers, they're just saying, no, just go home, drink fluids, maybe give them some steroids, and then come back if you feel worse.
And then they do, and then they're hospitalized and put on a ventilator and then given remdesivir, which 74% of people that receive that very expensive drug have adverse effects. The biggest one is renal failure, and then they're dying. And then now, you know, oh, they died because of COVID.
I heard the exact same thing just recently from someone who had a loved one in the hospital. They gave them this remdesivir. Then there was kidney failure, organ failure. And, look, COVID is doing quite a number here. Let's stick tubes down your throat. So in your experience, Natisha, we've got about 5 minutes left. You know, is the kind of corporatized model of healthcare delivery, is that having the effect of silencing doctors and nurses who otherwise would speak out?
Absolutely. People are afraid of losing their jobs. That's what I believe. I believe physicians are good at heart, but they are not, you know, they are fed information by the American Medical Association, who are all in bed with Big Pharma. And so it's either that, it's the funding, or they're overworked and too tired to actually look at the data themselves, or they don't care. And I would hate to think that that third option was the truth, because I've worked with a lot of really good physicians. I did bring this to their attention. I spoke with 5 cardiologists and said, this is what I'm seeing. And the answer was, oh, it's probably just the inflammatory effect of COVID, and another of the vaccine. And another one said, oh, well, they could clot if they got COVID too. Those were the responses that I got. I tried to bring it to their attention because I was very concerned about what I was seeing, but they didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, I guess when your job depends on it, it's hard to hear something like that. Yeah. You know, I've actually had some really interesting conversations. I was in California last week, and a member of an employee at a local hospital told me that less than half of the workers there at that hospital were willing to take the shot. And he was kind of encouraged, because he said if they try to mandate it, they're not going to be able to operate. And I've heard similar kind of anecdotal reports from people who work in hospitals, like, you know, some of them are taking the experimental injections, but a lot of them are not. You know, in your experience, did you notice a lot of that skepticism? And if so, why don't we see more doctors speaking out? I mean, we interviewed Dr. Marilyn Singleton, former president of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And she said, basically, you know, the federal government has created these incentives that kind of consolidated the healthcare system into these mega corporations. And now they've got all these nurses and doctors on these really short leashes. Is that along the lines of what you experienced and what you've seen over the last 16 years working in healthcare?
I think so. The GPO contracts and the funding, the reimbursements and the bonuses and compliance with the GPO is something that's probably playing into this. I've heard, and I don't know for a fact, that if the hospitals can get 70% of their employees vaccinated, they'll also be incentivized for that. I don't know that for a fact, though. And I just had a friend reach out to me the other day. She'd been an RN for 31 years. She was 59. And she got fired 2 days ago from a private Catholic hospital in my state, because she took the first vaccine, it almost killed her, and she refused the booster, the second one, and they fired her on the spot. After 31 years of service, at 59 years old, ready to receive her benefits and everything, and that's a big problem. And we also have a lot of nurses in healthcare just walking away. They're tired of it, and I don't know how the healthcare systems are going to survive this. I really don't. And the ones that are going to be left behind are playing into the machine. So we're going to have the Gestapo people taking care of patients, and that's even scarier. And I hate to use that term, but that's just kind of where we're at.
Yep. And you know, it's
over 50% of healthcare workers are the biggest population of not wanting to get the vaccine, because they know. Because especially nurses, we understand what's going on. And the ones that want to just take the money because it's been incentivized where I worked as well, they gave away two $5,000 random drawing prizes to those that had already received it. And then they were giving $400 to every employee that would receive it by October 1st.
Wow. Yeah. You know, what you just said is so alarming. And we see it not just in healthcare now. We see they're doing the same thing in the military. If you don't take the experimental injection, we're going to get rid of you. And it really seems like we're going to be left with just the kind of yes men. You know, I love the term you use, the Gestapo types that are just willing to follow orders regardless of the cost. Absolutely terrifying. Natisha, we're pretty much out of time, but any final words of wisdom for people, patients, healthcare providers, any thoughts you want to leave us with?
I would just say, stay healthy. I hate to say this. I never would have said it before. Stay out of the hospital the best you can. Take your supplements. America's Frontline Doctors is a great resource. They'll give you a list of supplements that you can take. And don't be afraid to speak up, because the blessings that I know I will receive on the back end of this are well worth a 16-year career at a health system that I no longer want to be associated with anyway because of the care that they're giving patients. So just use your voice. It's going to be okay. The more of us that stand up, the better off our country is going to be in the end. And we took an oath to take care of people, and we can't harm them instead. So if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. But let me give you some courage that speaking up is okay, because there's plenty of people out there that think like we do, and you will find something else. I promise.
Well, Natisha, I can't thank you enough for your courage, for speaking out, for what you believe, even in the face of this kind of abuse. And we all thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us. We appreciate it, folks. That was Natisha Kidwell, a nurse practitioner with a specialty in cardiology, who was attacked and threatened and retaliated against simply for exercising her right to free speech in defense of her own child at a school board meeting. Folks, if we don't all start speaking up, we are headed toward a catastrophe. So take an example from Natisha. Get a backbone. I know it's scary, but as she said, the blessings will come, and we've got to speak out now, or as they say, forever hold your peace, and we don't want to do that. Thanks so much for watching, folks. We appreciate you, and God bless you all.